Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if there was a Brupolo in the middle of the Lander Center.
That would be extremely weird.
You know, our friend Abby Hunt would be thrilled, though, I bet.
Abby's doing an excellent job there. That place looks amazing.
I mean, facilities management is in the blood for that one. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Hunts can take care of business. Yeah. I have a bone to pick with you. I listened to the show the other day, and
hold on.
I wasn't on the show, as some people figured out.
Yeah.
And on your Brupolo, you picked Chester.
Yeah.
Which is Big Daddy's community.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No. Why would
Are
I
you
know?
Serious?
How would I know? I've never even been there. I ain't never gotten the invite to Big Daddy's mansion.
That is where I was born. I was born in Chester. And you picked Chester, and I wasn't even on the show.
Hold on. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Chester.
Man, that would be weird. But that would be a great location for a Brupolo, because Chester right now is booming. The stock is skyrocketing in Chester,
home
of Chester Baptist Church and Brother Rob Falk.
There you go.
They had baby dedication on Sunday with, I think, like 10 babies. That place is booming.
Good for them. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whatever you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And I know we're coming up on Turkey Day, but every day before that can belong to the cow. And it should.
And after,
yeah. So I've already, you know, Christmas, prime rib is my meat of choice.
Oh, of course.
I'm doing a big old prime rib every Christmas now. That's just the way it's got to be. Whatever you're doing for cooking out this weekend or any weekend, put some beef on the grill. And if you don't want to cook out, let somebody else do it for you. So many great steakhouses around this state, and you can vote for your favorite. Go to the Mississippi Beef Council's Facebook page and put in your vote today. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. They have got a great sale going on right now, and if you haven't checked it out, you need to do it, because they are going to save you some money going into this holiday season. We're going to have a Black Friday in a couple of weeks. They don't have all the details squared away just yet. I think they're doing beat the clock, but they don't have it just completely ready yet, because they do have that Oxford location, and they want to make sure they got specials for everything going on there, you know, with game day being in Oxford this year. And also, don't forget, coming up this holiday season, they're going to be doing their 2-for-1 gift card sale, so I'll let you know when that happens. As soon as it happens. So check it out. Great sales going on at College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. Enjoy a great lunch at Restaurant Tyler. They have the best blue plate in town. Best choices as far as the meat and the veggies go. Great cornbread. But if you don't want to go for a blue plate, they got great burgers and sandwiches. Everything you want for lunch, it's right there at Restaurant Tyler. This holiday season, if you're going to have a special occasion dinner, make it at Restaurant Tyler. You will not regret that. The best meal in town, always at Restaurant Tyler.
Had that for lunch on Sunday.
Oh, how was that? I'm gonna bet it was good.
I had fried chicken.
You had fried chicken? I had fried chicken for lunch, too.
Fried chicken? Yeah. I love fried chicken.
It's fried chicken.
Mashed potatoes, gravy.
Okay. Yeah.
Butter beans.
Oof.
It was excellent.
There you go. Priority One Bank, 16 locations ready to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only where they're located, but to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You can't afford to wait around. That's why you need the level of service that's provided for you at Priority One Bank. 16 locations means there's a location near you if you live in Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Oh, hey there, Robbie.
Hey there, Brian. Brian.
So you and I both covered basketball on Sunday, but in different locations. You covered the women at the Hump. I went to the Lander Center in South Haven to cover the men's team. We'll start with the men. And first off, what a treat. What a great college basketball game. Fantastic. I mean, really. And I in the post game, I talked to Cam Matthews and Josh Hubbard. Then we talked to Chris Chance. And I asked them, I said, it felt like we were playing this game in March and not the middle of November. And they were all like, yeah, the intensity was very high. Cam said it felt like a late February, we got to have this game kind of intensity for them. Give Utah a lot of credit. I think that's a pretty good team, you know, I'm making from my eye test here. I don't know enough about them. They've got some good-looking athletes, though. They play hard. They've got some decent shooters. I think their depth might be a concern for them because they left guys out there in foul trouble. That's why they had three guys foul out in this game. But just from the eye test, I look at a team and I say they're probably a bubble team. I think at worst they'll end up being a quad two win for Mississippi State when it's all said and done. But it was a tale of two halves. State was dominated in the first half. Josh Hubbard was 1 of 7 shooting. State was 1 of 13 from behind the arc. They couldn't get anything to go. And on the other end of the court, Utah was getting great looks right at the basket. Shot, I think, 53%, 54% in the first half. Complete turnaround in the second half. State down 11 at the break, comes out with a 22-5 run to get a lead. They go back and forth for a little bit, but then State finally pushes the lead to 7, ices it from the free throw line, and gets the dub over Utah. I was very impressed with Mississippi State on Sunday, you know, especially in the second half. The first half, as I mentioned, nothing to write home about, but really a good win for the Bulldogs and showed, you know, once again, the depth of their scoring options. You know, we talked last week about finding that number two guy. And you said this, and maybe you're just right, that, you know, Hubbard's always going to be there, and it's just going to change night to night. This time it was Keyshawn Murphy, who loves a neutral site game, evidently. Had a monster game last year in Tupelo. This year in South Haven, 18 points, 13 rebounds. Those are both career highs for him. Ties a career high for points with that game in Tupelo a year ago. Only other Bulldog in double figures was Riley Kugel, Cam Matthews also in double figures. Had a great day at the free throw line, which I know it doesn't sound right coming out of my mouth to say that Cam Matthews had a great day at the free throw line, but he really put the game away with 5 free throws late. Just a good game for Mississippi State, Robbie. I know you were covering the women, needed a chance to watch it live, but I assume you've gone back and looked at some of the highlights. I know they looked really good in the second half.
Yeah, I missed like 5 minutes. I was watching it while I was watching. Yeah, you know, once the Steelers game ended,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have to, you know, have the three games up at the same time. So I could kind of balance a little bit. But I watched a good portion of it. I watched the entire second half while I was writing my game story. And the second half was just – I mean, this is what Chris Jan's teams do. When they have a bad first half, we've seen them – even in years past, we've seen them come around and play well in the second half. There's been very rare to see – Chris Jan's teams play two bad halves. This is a team that it seems like they're always going to play hard. Whether they're shooting well or not, or playing well or not, they always have the effort. And the second half effort to come out the way that they did, led by Josh Hubbard, was just kind of a revelation for this team. It wasn't a great night. They were 6 of 25 from 3. They shot 36% from the field, which – is okay. I mean, inside too, they were okay. First half, they were not good at all. But, you know, outside of Josh, they just weren't hitting their shots tonight. To find a way to get points was such a huge development. And for Cam Matthews to be the guy down the stretch of the ball game when you need to hit shots, hit free throws, extend the lead, for him to be that guy, huge development. Huge development. 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Hit his first 5 in that last minute and a half.
Yeah. And five the one he missed, State collects the rebound on, and Kugel goes back to the line and gets 2 more free throws.
That's right. 8 of 10 he finishes, which has to be the best free throw shooting he's ever had.
Yeah.
But Jans, listen to the post game with Richard Neal, and Jans was on there, and he talked about just how much work Cam is putting in in the gym trying to make himself a better player. You know, it'd be one thing if he just kind of went through the motions and realized that, you know, he was who he was. He's never going to be a three-point shooter. He's never going to be a mid-range guy. He has legitimately worked hard in the offseason to kind of change the scout a little bit on him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be the guy that people hack and put at the free throw line and he's costing Mississippi State points. He wants to be able to go down there and knock down some big shots down the stretch. Last year, you know, Mississippi State loses a game against Ole Miss that they had a chance to tie and take the overtime there at the end of regulation. He had 2 misses and they weren't even close to going in. And I think he remembers moments like that. And for him to come in and do that was just special. Yeah. And I know it's just free throws, but those win and lose you ball games. And tonight, I think that won Mississippi State the game. Because Utah could have very easily turned that game there late in the last minute and a half. State got defensive stops, but that extended the lead and put more pressure on Utah because of what he was able to do. And you mentioned Keyshawn, easily the best game of his career. He was fantastic. 8 of 10 for the line from him, too. 14 rebounds, 18 points. State rebounding really got better in the second half. I think they out-rebounded him by 4 in the game. And their rebounding in the second half was much better. You know, Michael Nwoko didn't do much for you offensively, but he had 11 rebounds.
11 boards. You got 25 boards out of your centers today.
Yeah. That'll play.
That'll play all year long.
20 points from your centers. You scored 20 points, and you got 25 rebounds.
Yeah.
That will do. That'll beat a lot of teams. Because here's the thing. State's not going to shoot like this most nights. They were 6 of 25. This might be one of the worst nights they have three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they will shoot like this. And that's with Josh Hubbard going 5 of 9. He was just – I mean, I don't know how many guys have seen at Mississippi State do this. I mean, we've talked about Darrell Wilson and guys like that and Timmy Bowers. But this kid, before it's all said and done, I think he's going to be the greatest that's ever done it from a three-point shooting perspective at Mississippi State. And yeah. It's just so difficult to stop him. When he comes off those screens on the wing, I mean, you can count it almost every time.
Yeah.
And he had that rough first half, but you were not holding him down for another 20 minutes.
All in all, for Mississippi State, like I said, just a really impressive win. I'm just trying to
7 turnovers.
Yeah, let me talk about that real quick. And I brought it up to Jans, and apparently it came from the radio show. That through 4 games, Hubbard doesn't have a turnover yet.
That's nuts.
That's a really improbable statistic when you're talking about a guy who has the ball in his hands as much as he does, goes up for shots, hasn't been stripped of a shot yet, anything like that, goes to the, you know, has driven to the basket and isn't getting it taken away from him there. That's a pretty impressive. And the thing, and I said this in the post game to Jans. It's not like Utah was a bunch of, you know, 5'10 guys out there. They were long, athletic.
Physical.
They played hard, but they were only 7 turnovers. If State's going to get only 7 turnovers a game, they were +8 in turnovers in this game. If they're going to be able to – I mean, they're not going to out-rebound a lot of opponents, but they out-rebounded Utah tonight. And like you said, if they're getting 20 and 25 from the 5 position night in, night out, you know you're getting, you know, 18 to 25 from Hubbard. So now I'm going to be around 45 points right there. And I got the rest of the lineup to get me 30 points to get set to 75. And they're going to win a lot of games doing that.
Hubbard, his stats bear it out. He has 0 turnovers in 117 minutes with 5 fouls. He's playing on a different level right now. He's shooting
really, really playing well.
60% from 3-point range.
Yeah. And that's and that was
83 from the line. I mean,
yeah.
He's just been incredible. I mean, and he's got a whole season to play out, but you know, he had his moments early last year, but you could kind of tell that he was a work in progress. He is a guy that's playing on a different level, and a lot of that is the work that he puts in the off season.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a machine. If you've ever been around Josh Hubbard, his entire life is ball. I mean, it's just what he does. He goes to the gym, he works his butt off. He doesn't put anything in his body that's going to be a detriment to him. He's just a ball player, man, and you can see it. He leads this team. But like I said, I mean, you're getting contributions from different people, it feels like, every game. And it's going to need to continue. I mean, this non-conference schedule isn't easy. I mean, it's going to be a tough non-conference schedule.
Yeah, this game against SMU coming up. They're a decent team on the road. As Jan said, five straight power opponents, I believe it is, because you've got you played Utah, then you go to play SMU, then you have this two-game tournament it's Butler, Northwestern, and who do they play in the first game?
UNLV.
UNLV. I mean, that basic Mountain West is a power conference in basketball, and then you have the game with Pitt. So yep. I mean, that's five straight, and then you know you have a quick non-conference break, or you get a couple of smaller schools, but then you got to go play at Memphis.
Yeah, so, McNeese State's in there too.
Yeah, McNeese, who we know all about.
Not as great as last year, but still a good team.
It's still Will Wade. Still going to be a good team. So yeah, Jan's talked about that. He said he felt like they needed challenges. He felt like this was the year to push up on the non-conference. State's going to have a chance, if they handle their business in the non-conference, to be a top 10 or so net team when the season rolls around. The same way they were Jans's first year. The difference, hopefully, is that they're better in conference play than they were in Jans's first year. And if that's the case, they're going to end up being a 4 or 5 seed when the NCAA tournament rolls around. So really good day for the men. For the women, Robbie, the games that they've played this week, it feels like defense is the theme for this team, that they just are playing a better quality of defense than they did maybe at any point last year.
Yeah, they've held all four teams under 30% shooting. So teams are really struggling to get shots off. I think that has a lot to do with their length. They're very lengthy at most of their positions.
Uh-huh.
Jerkayla Jordan is a big guard. Anaya Russell, is a big guard. She's playing the wing. She's playing the three. But, she's got that wingspan. You bring Destiny McFall off the bench, and she's got length. I think DeBrisha Poe's done a really good job defending. Medina Okot is a problem in the post. Defense is definitely, I think, where this team's power lies. And I think right now you're seeing some inconsistencies on the offensive side. And there were some people that were kind of panicking on Sunday when it was 29-24 at half. State had scored 16 points, I think, in the first quarter. They scored 13 in the second. I just think you're going to see that with this team, an up and down offensive game. You've got virtually an entirely new team outside of Jerkayla Jordan and DeBrisha Poe. Neer Montague comes off the bench, but she doesn't play a lot of minutes just yet, and she was coming off the bench last year. So you have two really familiar faces, and then everybody else is new. So a lot of times when you have that kind of changeover on a basketball roster, and I think you're going to see that with the men too, you're going to have these games where you're just not on the same page. You don't have that consistency. You don't have the continuity. I think that's what you're dealing with right now with the offense for this team. They came around and scored 69 points. And they scored 69 points, Brian.
Nice.
60, thank you. And they had some good moments. They had, I think, four players in double digits, kind of like the men. But to me, I would rather the defense be consistently good right out of the gates than putting up giant offensive numbers. So I think the offense comes and goes.
Yeah.
If your defense is good every night, that bodes well. That usually tells you you have a good, solid foundation, you have a good team. And I would, like I said, I would much rather have the foundation be defensively and you can score a lot of points than we have a really explosive offense, but who knows what we're going to do on defense. So I like this team a lot. I like the potential of it. I think there's a lot of holes in it right now with what they're doing. I don't think there's the consistencies there just yet. Mm-hmm. But like the men, they were much better at protecting the ball today. They had 12 turnovers, which is, you know, they've been getting high teens and in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're starting to get that a little under control. The passing has been a little more crisp. And, you know, now it just needs to be – and he hit shots. They were 3 for 17, I think, from three.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these games were very similar. They were played – they played out similarly. State women had a big second half, just like the men.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get down in this game, but, you know, they found a way to have a big second half and win the ball game. So they're both 4-0.
I'll tell you, the when you look at the stat sheet, what pops for the season, to me anyway, is the shooting percentage for three of State's starters, Russell, Poe, and Okot. 58%, 56%, and then 63% for Okot, who's averaging a double-double. I mean, it's only four games. It hasn't been the most impressive competition, but I mean that's impressive. Anaya Russell, I mean, you know, Purcell told us about her, you know, back in the offseason, and she was going to be a factor. I didn't know that she was going to be a 17-point-per-game factor. Like I said, it's early, very early, but we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, the early returns on the women have been very good thus far. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week. But for Mississippi State's from a recruiting perspective, and we'll do the song in just a minute, don't worry. But from a recruiting perspective, he put together a really solid class last weekend. Or last
oh week. Yeah, yeah. He this is the best job he's done recruiting, I think. Went out and he got 3 4-stars, 3 top 100. One of them's a 5-star, and Madison Francis. Two of the players are Gatorade Players of the Year in their state. One of them from New York, one from Indiana, and then he's got a 4-star in Natalia Gray from Texas, who I think is a really underrated player, long, athletic. What is happening?
Well, I was trying to get the Cruton song lined up. We're still working out
Thank you for lining it up in the middle of what I'm saying.
I was just trying to get it, and I'm like, I couldn't make it stop.
Okay.
My
but
boss.
Yeah, it's a good, solid group. And, you know, Sam did the heavy lifting. I mean, a lot of times you put – and I think they put a lot of faith in those assistants too, but Sam is like a bona fide, like that top recruiter that you have as an assistant that just loves recruiting.
Yeah.
That's who Sam is as a head coach.
As a head coach, yeah.
And that's tough, man, because with all the strain that you have from dealing with 15 players, a coaching staff, get a week-to-week, day-to-day head coaching duties that you have, to also be constantly calling recruits and getting them on the phone and trying to get them here, just an outstanding job by him. I think that he's really set the foundation with this class coming in. And if you can get by this year, I don't think that this is going to be one of his better teams. And I don't mean that negative about this team. I feel like this is kind of a transition year for them. And if they can get in the NCAA tournament and maybe even make a run, that is huge for Sam Purcell moving forward. But I feel like his best days at Mississippi State are coming.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna try to cue this song up again.
Okay, let's see if we can figure it out.
Again, you know, guys, we're still working out the kinks here on this video thing. You know, there was a time where you didn't have to do all those things. You know, it was just easier. So
with great power comes great responsibility.
That's what they say. By the way, we're blaming Will East. I told him last week, I was like, hey, I need a graphic that has the Cruton song on it that I can just pop in there. And where is he on that, huh? Well, you know, too busy sending me mean text about Ole Miss being good in football. That's what he's doing.
Or coming up with some punny statements for Twitter. He's really good at.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
He's really good at the headlines.
Yeah.
And the funny tweets.
Yeah, he's great at those things. But You know, when I need something actually done for work, where is that guy? I don't know. So, big news on Friday, like right as Sports Talk Mississippi is going off the air almost, as Mississippi State basketball brings in a massive recruit. And when I say a big recruit, I don't just mean because he's 6'10 and 270 pounds. T. Bartlett is the name, rated as the number 61 player overall on three sports. A four-star on all four recruiting services, so a composite four-star. Offers from Providence, USC, Washington, Xavier, plenty of teams from across the country. This is a guy who is a really old-school kind of center, an old-school kind of post player. But, you know, when you think about Mississippi State, you know, in terms of like a Lawrence Roberts, but a bigger version.
Please don't say Renardo Sidney.
No. Okay. You said it. Why did you say it? I wasn't going
to. Because several people have used him as an example to me, right, and I almost fought them.
There's two issues with what you've just said. One, under no circumstances should ever that be made. But secondly, high school Renardo Sidney was a lot more like a guard. Like,
yeah.
If you watch him, people thought he was coming in and was going to be like a Magic Johnson kind of player.
Oh, Renardo, had he had his head on straight,
yeah,
would have been a first-team All-American.
That first round.
Top five draft pick.
There's no question.
He was incredible.
So the other issue with people saying that is
they're not the same type players.
It's not even the same kind of player. It's a terrible comparison. Much more comparable to like, if you're going to really want to reach for one, an Eric Dampier, a traditional center. That's how I would look at him. You know, a guy who'll be a shot blocker, a force down low, a guy who can, you know, do a lot of things that Tolu Smith does, but could be even physically more dominant down there. So that's how I would look at this guy. So Jans's class is really impressive when you look at it. I mean, ranked 16th nationally on three. Four players. Now, Chol Macha, I don't know how to pronounce it just yet. I'll be honest with you.
I don't even know if he's going to be in the class.
He might not even be in the class. But the other guys are all a four-star on at least one service. King Grace is a four-star on three of them. Jamarian Davis Fleming is a four-star on three of them. Cameron Paul is a four-star on two. And then you have, as I mentioned, T. Bartlett on all four. He is a four-star player. We knew that that Jans would be able to recruit the portal. We knew that that was going to be the case. If he's going to be able to stack up some high school classes like this, I'm not saying Mississippi State's about to become like a Kentucky or something, but there's going to be more winning for Chris Jans at Mississippi State if he's going to recruit at this level. And we've known for years, going back to Stansberry, that Mississippi State has always kind of had its ducks in a row for basketball recruiting, even back when it was, you know, maybe some things were going on. I don't know.
Not at Mississippi State.
But that being said,
Mississippi State's always played by the rules.
Mississippi State's basketball NIL is in a very good place. It's probably – I'm not saying it's the best in the conference by any stretch of imagination, but is it top four? Probably.
They've always had a good setup.
The network is good, and it always has been, and Jans has taken full advantage of that, and that's why you're getting players like this. On top of the fact that State's winning, and I think the Hubbard thing is real. Now, maybe not so much with T. Bartlett, but guard people right now, if you sign with Mississippi State this year, and maybe even next year, you're going to get to play with Josh Hubbard. Players want to do that. They want to play with that guy. But secondly, guards are going to look at that and go, well, I can do that too. A guy like King Grace is going to look at Josh Hubbard and say, well, I can do what he's doing. And that's if Chris Jans can do that with Josh Hubbard, what can he do with me? That's going to be the mindset for a lot of these guys.
That what I look at is like this is a Rick Stansberry caliber class, and I mean, what was kind of the knock on Stansberry is like in game, you know, it wasn't always there.
Mm-hmm.
In game coaching, development, that was kind of absent at times. You know, Chris Jans is a great in game coach, elite. Look at today. You're down 11 at the half. Look at what they did in the second half. You went from down 39-28 to second half 50-34.
Mm.
So, I mean, I'm just imagining Chris Jans with four-star caliber players on this roster. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, guys want to play – when they get here, they want to play for Chris Jans. They don't want to leave. Keyshawn Murphy did everything possible to leave, but leave. You know, he wasn't getting what he wanted. He wasn't getting the playing time that he wanted. He wasn't – you know, he wasn't happy. And he comes back. Chris Jans didn't give him – you know, Chris Jans didn't butter him up. Chris Jans didn't, you know, suck up to him, give him playing time to make him happy. When he came back last year, he had to earn his way back on the team. And when he got back to campus after hitting the portal, he had to earn his keep again. Keyshawn Murphy is playing up to his potential mm-hmm. because of Chris Jans, mm-hmm. because of the what Chris Jans is demanding out of him, and he wants to be here. And you look at some of these other guys that, you know, MJ Russell and some of like those kind of guys that, you know, aren't they haven't been seeing the court. MJ redshirted last year. And he wants to be here. Guys want to be here. He's building a really strong roster. And like you said, I mean, he's done a really good job in the portal. Well, now you can build something here with this recruiting class. If you're able to build and develop with your high school kids and recruit at a really high level, and then add in pieces from the portal to go along with that, then I think you're cooking. I don't know if, you know, a new roster every year is sustainable and with this, you know, current stage of college athletics, at least for a lot of places. There's some people that made it work. If you're able to build this with this kind of class and then add pieces like they did this past year, I think Chris Jans can do some special things here. And they're going to make it harder for him to leave. I've had my doubts about Chris Jans staying here long-term until this season, because I really feel like you got the fan support. You got, to me, the Hump is a top five venue in the SEC. Mm-hmm. And I talked to a former assistant coach that coached at Mississippi State. He's elsewhere in the SEC. He's coaching at a prominent place inside the SEC that told me he's coached everyone in the SEC and nothing compares to the Hump. Mm. He believes it is one of, not the best venues when it is rocking in the SEC. And that's a large statement. And, you know, he's got the support. He's got the arena. I think that Mississippi State financially is going to make him stable. And he can win here. It's going to be tougher and tougher for Chris Jans to leave.
I agree. It's just going to be because if you can win, coaches at the end of the day, yeah, they want money, no question, right? We all do, but they want to know that where they are, they can be successful. And if Mississippi State provides Jans with an avenue to be successful, the money will come, right? You know, mm-hmm. he'll look up if he takes a deep run into the, let's say he's a Sweet 16 team this year, right? He's going to get another raise, so he'll be around $5.5 million next year, and then
they're going to make it difficult for him.
You know, Hubbard comes back for another run, and you add these other pieces, and you go back into the portal and get some more guys. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, you're making $6-7 million a year. The money's there, so that's
Lane Kiffin deal. You know,
exactly.
Ole Miss gets Lane Kiffin, and everybody's saying that the first time you know he shows some success, he's bolting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Ole Miss just made it impossible for him to leave for anywhere other than a blue blood job.
Yeah.
And the blue bloods are not coming after him. And now he's winning there, and he's showing he can win at a very high level at Ole Miss. I'm not saying, you know, State is going to be at that point, but, I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility that State can be a national title contender down the line. I don't think that's impossible at all. We've seen it at Mississippi State before. It's a Final Four school. This is a team that's won SEC championships. This is a team that's finished inside the top 10. It's been a team it's been a program that has had sustained success over the years. I don't think that you can eliminate anything in your mind about Mississippi State basketball with the right investment and the right coach. And I think they have the right coach. He's just got to go out and take that next step and keep building. And he's continued to do that. He got Mississippi State to back-to-back tournaments. He's went out and recruited a top five portal class, and now he's got a top 20 recruiting class with a player that you have on the team right now that is nationally relevant, that is a guy that before the end of the year I think is going to be a media darling and one of the most exciting players in the country. Chris Jans is steadily moving Mississippi State back into the spotlight. It's been 20 years since they've been nationally relevant, where I would say, you know, top 10 caliber team. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen this year, but I'm not going to, you know, put Chris Jans out.
Yeah.
As far as that's concerned.
There were some people last year who were like not pleased with Jans after he lost to Ole Miss. They're like, this guy's not like, how did that turn out?
Yeah, so. Exactly.
All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. That's reliable service for every business need. What does that mean? It means this. I'm going to show you what it means. See this right here? See this? You need to be watching on YouTube so you can see what I'm talking about. This is the Pip Printing and Signs brochure that they have given me. I mean, first off, yeah, if you just need brochures, look at the quality of this thing. I mean, impact pictures. I mean, it just gets your attention right of the way. Guys, if you own a business and you are working with a printing company other than Pip Printing and Signs, your money is not doing all that it can for you, right? Because you're not working with the best. Pip Printing and Signs is the best. They always have been, 30 years of experience. You need to reach out to Cam Baker today and say, this is what my business does. What can you do for me? And he's going to lay out a plan for you, and he's going to put it together, and then you're going to look up in a little bit and be like, hey, why are we getting so many more new customers? Why are we having more customer retention? It's because you've worked with Pip Printing and Signs, and they have gotten the message that you wanted out to your customers. Give Cam a call today at 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, nope. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find. I was doing so well.
At least you cut it off immediately.
The smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I haven't been to Two Brothers in a few weeks, Robbie, so I guess we're going to have to go this week.
I feel like we keep saying, I haven't been there in a while. What are we doing?
I mean,
what are we doing?
Come to Starkville and let's eat lunch. Yeah, you know?
We do that a lot.
I guess we're going to have to do that. You know?
Darn it.
Yeah. Make it
Dang
happen.
Dang it!
Two Brothers Smoke Meats, and of course, the older brother, Starkville's best new restaurant, the home of the fancy sandwich. That's another one, Robbie and I, and you guys too. Yeah, when's the last time you were at the older brother? You need to get over there as well and get you a fancy sandwich, so go do it. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, right side, right next door to the older brother, two of the best places to eat in this city. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing that now for 50 years.
50.
50. When you need technology for your business, if you need a new copier, a new printer, new information systems, laptops, computers, whatever it is, give them a call at Advantage Business Systems. They'll set you up with great name brands at a great price. But most importantly, if something does go wrong, they're going to set you up with great service after the sale. And because they're in Mississippi, if you have a problem, they can usually get out to you within 24 hours. Sometimes they can get out there the same day. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. You need to go check out Starkville's best place to get Mississippi State gear. They've got stuff you cannot find anywhere else. They have the biggest and best, the most unique selection. But most importantly, they've got a code with us that's going to save you some money. This holiday season, man, you're trying to save a little cash. You want to get more. But make your dollar go further. You can do that with Maroon & Co. and our promo code, THUNDER15, 15% off, regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the games, at Davis Wade, at Duty Noble, at the Hump, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Robbie, you and I aren't betting men for the. I like to place the occasional wager. I don't know about you, but this line on Mississippi State, Missouri is low.
Well, fishy.
Oh, it's.
It what was like, it? Is it 10?
It's 8.
Oh.
Mississippi State has not won an SEC game, or not lost an SEC game by less than 10. this year.
I know, but
I know Missouri has not been great, but who does
I don't know what Missouri
cover
is.
Luther Burden?
They almost won again on
Saturday.
They had
that game in the bag, and they let it get away.
And they had, if they won that game, they had a legitimate shot of being 10-2.
Mm-hmm. They would have
and
been.
I have no idea how.
They would be 10-2 and complaining they weren't in the playoff.
I mean, they should have lost to Oklahoma in Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
So, they haven't looked good in a single game since like week two, and they're sitting here with three losses. But it's a winnable game for State. I don't look at that and say like I just don't see State winning. I mean, it is a winnable game. It really is.
But at the same time, I see the way Brady Cook has played this year. And he hasn't been great, but he's good enough. And then I just don't know who's going to stop Luther Burden.
I mean, I'm totally expecting 80% completion percentage for Cook, 85% maybe. Ooh. Luther Burden's probably 150 yards. I mean, that's what I expect.
Catches 175 yards and two scores. Yeah, it's
anything less at this point is a surprise.
Just an odd line, though. That is a fishy line. I mean, State, what are their margins of defeat? 17 in SEC play, 17, 22, 10, 10, 33, and 19.
Yeah, I mean, and none of those games that I feel like State had a legitimate shot to win.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Toledo.
Their closest game, strangely,
was Georgia. Yeah.
I mean, even A&M was – I feel like Georgia was closer than that. Like, we were thinking in the second half, like, man, if you could get a stop right here.
Georgia was a game that I would have said if State could have gotten five more minutes, they might have had a chance to win that game. But, they're
– Georgia was starting to die on the vine a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, totally, completely unrelated.
Oh, we're going non sequitur here. We're going off the rails. Let's do it.
You know that old grocery store that's on the, I think it's Greensboro Street.
Yeah, across from Louisville. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, it's on the corner. Is that Greensboro Street?
It's Greensboro and Louisville. Yeah,
Louisville. Did you know that is an apartment?
People live in there?
Yes.
I thought it was just an old abandoned grocery store.
I just saw it on Facebook.
I, for years, have thought that would make a great place to have like a little sandwich shop for the kids when they get out of school or something.
It looks awesome. I just saw it on Facebook come across my feed. I went and looked at it. It is a awesome, and this is free advertising, by the way.
You got to send me this link. I want to see it.
This is free advertising for you. This apartment is now for rent. I'll send it to you.
Okay, I see it now. I see it now. Hold on.
You see it?
This place isn't. What?
And my mind's blown.
Dude.
If I had this apartment in college, oh boy.
This is
it's
a
like
great
a little studio
place.
Apartment. Really cool. Yeah, this is free advertising.
It's got a sleeping loft.
Yeah, and a little back porch, little area for grill.
I thought that was just an old.
My mind's blown. I had no idea that people live there.
That's a good deal for what they're offering. Wow, that's pretty good. Well, I had no idea. Had no clue.
Yeah, so if you're in the market for an apartment, there's some free advertising for you guys.
All right. One more thing before we go. We got to give a big shout out here. Starkville High School, Jacket Dance. First in the state. First
really?
An overall varsity grand champion at the Deep South Spirit Mania competition in Jackson. My daughter Emily got her championship ring tonight.
Led by Emily Haydad.
That's right. That's right. So
how about that? Congratulations
to them. So very good. It's a good day. Good day. All right.
It was a good
day.
We're
trying to get all these Cruton song hijinks worked out. Tomorrow's show, back with Jeff Lebby. His press conference will be there, so we'll have the sign, talk about what he talks about. We'll do our SEC picks, still two behind after Robbie played defense, and it didn't work. We both lost that one. So you could have.
I think we both lose.
We both lost.
Oh, Because we both picked the same team. Yeah, I understand.
So all you had to do was take Georgia. You might have been able to seal this thing up. So
I just had no faith in Georgia after the Ole Miss game.
That game Saturday night was very similar to the Ole Miss-Georgia game. And that Tennessee came out, looked really good early. Like, okay, they're gonna run away with this. It was 10-0 Tennessee. From that point on, it's 31-7 Georgia.
Well, you know what Georgia's about to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're about to run the table.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss, they had their Tim Tebow, Florida, losing at the Swamp to Ole Miss moment.
Except
they did it in Vaught Hemingway
Stadium. Except Carson Beck was like, whatever, dude, I got to get back to the Cavender twins.
Does he have both of them?
No, but, I mean, I don't know.
Man. Ugly dude, but he's a starting quarterback in the SEC. So.
Chick big quarterbacks, you know. Then I'm just going to tell you right now. You know me. I'm not exactly what people would. I am a Nafum, as they used to say, right? I am not a friend of Ole Miss.
Were you a frequent visitor of that board?
I used to be a moderator of that board. Did you know
that? Yeah, I used to be on there some.
Yeah. But I was all last week, I told the Ole Miss fans, I was like, you guys want to pull for Tennessee. You want Tennessee to win this game. You want Georgia with three losses and get them out. Get them done.
Yeah, that was my thinking as well.
All I heard from these people was, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If they have two losses, Tennessee will be behind us. Georgia will be behind us. The AP poll came out today, and Georgia's ahead of Ole Miss. Now, that poll doesn't really matter. I'm just going to tell you on Tuesday, I'm just not going to be surprised when Georgia's ahead of them.
Oh, if it was between Georgia and Ole Miss, the committee's picking Georgia.
So Alabama.
I don't know if it'll come down to that, but
let's just assume Texas beats Texas A&M, right? So that doesn't matter. A&M's out at that point. They have three losses.
Yeah.
Right. Alabama has kind of separated itself from the other two lost teams. Like, I'm pretty sure right now, if everything holds out, it's going to be Texas versus Alabama in the SEC championship. I'm pretty sure of that.
That's what's on tap.
Okay. So then you have the other two lost teams. You have Georgia, Tennessee, and Ole Miss. I'm just telling you right now, that Kentucky loss for Ole Miss is an albatross. It is an anchor.
Well, the LSU loss is starting to get there,
too. LSU loss is not good either. Both of Ole Miss's losses, you can say are bad. They're both to unranked teams.
Because here's the thing. I test Ole Miss. To me, Ole Miss is a top five team.
Yeah.
From the eye test.
Yes.
But that's not what they're going to do. They're going to look at your losses.
And then
who has the worst losses? They will look at that.
Georgia's losses. They lost to Ole Miss and Alabama, both on the road. Tennessee lost two games, Georgia and Arkansas, both on the road. Ole Miss had a bad home loss. I'm just telling you, I understand that Ole Miss beat Georgia. I understand when you watch Ole Miss, they are easily a top five team. Easily. They have the
Without
best
question.
Defense. They have the best defense in the SEC. No question.
You can make an argument that Ole Miss has the most complete team as personnel.
They do. They
offense,
have an elite quarterback.
But they've screwed up in two games.
Yeah, but that is going to hurt them. They may still very well get in. They could. They will probably get in. But am I going to be shocked when we go to this last day and they're tied at 10-2 with Georgia and Tennessee, and Georgia and Tennessee get in and they don't? I'm not going to be surprised by that. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Rebel fans, you missed a window here. You should have all jumped on with your pal Haydad and been pulling your weight against Georgia. You wanted them out. Now they're very much in it. So we'll talk more about that.
If this game in the Swamp is at night.
It's not, though. It's 11 a.m.
Yeah, if it was at night, I would
be a little different.
I still think Ole Miss wins this game,
yeah.
But it is not. It's gonna
Lagway gives them a chance, and look, their season turned for the better when Mertz got hurt. And I hate to say that because I don't like people getting hurt, but Lagway gave them the best chance to win. And against a front like that can do things, a mobile quarterback, a guy who you can just maybe throw some QB run in. Remember, Joe Moorhead, for all his faults, one thing he always said was the reason QB run can work is because it gives you an extra blocker, right?
Yeah.
If the QB's carrying the ball, the running back's blocking. So now you got an extra blocker. You can have that extra advantage in the box. And you got to remember, Georgia or Ole Miss doesn't blitz a lot. So a lot of times it's just those four guys. Florida's going to have some opportunities offensively in this game. It's just going to be – they sacked LSU, I think, eight times. Can they get half of that against Dart? I don't know. So yeah. We'll talk more about that throughout the week. We've got plenty of time.
They're playing good football right now, and they got a little bit of juice in the recruits.
Well, they need –
they're playing for Napier.
Yeah. What is their record? Are they have five wins now?
5-5. They're going to get bowl eligible because they're going to beat the brakes
on Florida State. But, I mean, 7-5 and 6-6, there's a difference in that. So we'll see how it all goes. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.